Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
News is coming next. Good sports with Cousin Sal coming after that. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed Mister. People are working from home. They're starting to see their coworkers' hair going gray over those vid calls. Thinking about coloring it? Good. You're not alone. I did it myself. I used it, it was 2 days ago. Comes in a nice box. Comes with a set of gloves. You put the color in, and then you put the setting cream in after that. You just leave it in there for about 10 minutes, and boom, Bob's your uncle. Madison Reed Mister. It's gray blending with your natural hair color and your beard as well, and it looks great. It's natural looking. I think that's the whole thing. You want to look natural, people. So it's not that shoe polish look. And again, I just did it in my bathroom. Took me 10 minutes. Just sort of put it in my hands, rubbed it together, and just sort of ran it through my hair. Quick and easy. Just apply the color gel and then the activator. Wait 10 minutes. Rinse, shampoo, and they'll deliver it right to your door. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So the Department of Justice announced an expansion of its Operation Legend, which I did not know it had a name, and will send federal troops into Cleveland, Detroit, and Milwaukee to assist local police in fighting an uptick in violent crime.
I got to send them down to Rush Street so this brother can enjoy a steak.
Well, this comes on the heels of federal forces, Homeland Security, and ICE agents pulling back in Portland. So now they're going to Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Detroit. The plan is to send 42 agents to Detroit, 25 to Cleveland and Milwaukee. They'll be deployed from the FBI, DEA, and other agencies. Attorney General William Barr says the expansion of Operation Legend is necessary to assist cities in a rise of violent that have a rise of violent crime, and is not like the surge in Portland, where federal agents were sent to control protests. The new deployment is not sitting well with everybody, though. Leaders like Mayor Tom Barrett in Milwaukee says, "I'm extremely concerned the President Trump is looking for opportunities to create more political division in cities across the nation."
Well, first off, how's that possible? We can create more. Number two, yeah, you know, somebody just said, look, if the people in Portland are trying to burn down a federal courthouse, then you're allowed to send federal troops to protect your federal courthouse, which is fine. This thing where it's like they're pulling up in unmarked cars and pulling peaceful protesters off the street and throwing them in a gulag and shit. It's like that's not happening. We need to get things under control. And there's an interesting thing Ben Shapiro said at some point. I remember hearing it. Said the most important thing you could do, like you need in these communities of color and these communities, poor communities, like the first thing you need to do in that community is get crime under control. You have to get crime under control. That's first. Everyone wants to talk about schooling and businesses and stuff. If you don't have crime under control, then what businesses do you have? Like when you have businesses just to go, like, I'm not going in there. I'm not hanging my shingle in that part of town. It's like it's too dangerous. I don't want an employee to get shot at the store I'm opening or whatever it is. The first thing you have to do is get crime under control. The next thing is then have the businesses come in and have people participating in those businesses and schools and whatever else. But anyway, it's a weird, it's such a bizarre relationship we're having with rules and law enforcement now. I went through the first 50 years of my life with, you know, it was a couple little flare-ups, a couple little discussions. Always, if you sit next to Mark Garagos, he's going to tell you about this guy being in prison wrongly and the system and bail and shit like that. But man, it is just taken over our world. But either way, all right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there in those three cities. Meanwhile, Johnny Depp's libel case in the UK has come to a close after 3 weeks of dramatic and somewhat, sometimes entertaining testimony. Depp sued over an article in The Sun that called him a wife beater during his short-lived marriage to Amber Heard. In her closing submission, the attorney for News Group Newspapers, owner of The Sun, said, quote, "There is no doubt that Mr. Depp regularly and systematically abused his wife." In his closing submission, the actor's lawyer called Heard a compulsive liar and said, "At its very core, we say it demonstrates that she is an abuser, not Mr. Depp. He is no wife beater." A ruling isn't expected for several weeks, but this was 3 weeks of craziness.
So what I don't understand is, although it was interesting when Gerrigus said the reason England has different laws than we do, and it's a lower threshold to sue a news entity. So there's many more of these lawsuits in England than there are here in the United States because we have a higher threshold to sue CNN or the Washington Post or whatever. It's a higher threshold burden of proof. But he's over there and he's suing the paper. But what is she doing? Why is she there?
Well, that's the thing.
Is he getting divorced and suing them? Like, I don't know.
No.
He's suing them for libel, but, or slander, whichever one it is, but
libel.
But then why is she there?
I can look it up, but my guess is she's a witness for the defense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, really? Benedict Arnold.
The prosecutor in her closing argument said he was an abuser, but didn't specifically say wife beater, which is what the issue is over. Like, abuse covers a lot of things, very nebulous sometimes. Wife beater is very specific. So I wonder if they're backing off that. I don't know.
It seems weird that she would stop what she's doing and go to England for a month and have her soiled.
What is she doing?
I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, she's the main witness.
She's the main witness. Does she get paid? She must
get paid to be a witness?
Well, let me tell you one thing I've learned. Court experts, financial experts, forensic accountants, all those guys, they get paid a shitload of money by whichever side cuts the check. You know, like when they bring in their expert, when Mark Garagos brings in his expert, he says exactly what they figured out to say as the quote unquote expert who's getting paid.
I guess she's an expert on Johnny Depp.
So it seems like a weird way for her to spend a month. I'm going to go to England and have everyone talk about me shitting in bed and stuff like that.
But remember, she wrote that open letter or op-ed or whatever for, was it Huffington Post, or about how she's a domestic abuse survivor. So maybe she's doubling down on that. You know, maybe she wants to be seen as a leading advocate for surviving domestic abuse. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, maybe Max Vatican can look. But either way. God damn. What a crazy. First off, I don't think, when I was a kid, it was always like, be rich and be famous. Rich and famous, the lifestyles of the rich and famous. I don't know. Is it worth it anymore? Like, I just feel like you're going to get sued. Your shit's all going to be out there. Someone's going to hate you. Eventually, we're going to go full Ellen on your ass. I don't know. I have kids. I would kind of hope that they would just kind of get along and slide under the radar a little bit. They can make money. They can have a profession and even be rich. But the rich and the famous part. I don't know if the famous.
That's what Steve Martin always said. If you have to pick between rich and famous, pick rich.
Because famous used to mean you could walk into a club and give the maitre d' $100 and he'd throw somebody out and just put you right at the front of the copa. Or it meant when you got pulled over, like, oh, Mr. Carson. Yes, I'll escort you home. You seem to have been drinking tonight. You know, there was a lot of perks. I don't know if you get those perks anymore. Yeah. I can't go down to building and safety and go like, all right, who's kids do I got to grease? I got to grease some palms here because this guy, I'm a big time celebrity. Like, you just fucking pull a ticket and get in line. There's no... I don't know that there's any more celebrity anymore. Max Pata, look into that because I keep seeing Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and I guess she's a witness, but just out there because she hates Johnny or because the papers lining her pockets?
Well, if she's subpoenaed, she'd have a choice, right?
I guess. I guess if she's subpoenaed, yeah, that's true. All right, let me hit, let's see, what do I got? I got something on my screen here that seems different than what I'm looking at, but let me just hit quick Geico here right now. Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle and RV policies as well. That's a 15% credit on top of the money you would be saving already if you went to Geico, because that's what they do. They save you money on your insurance. You want to insure your Polaris or your quad, you could probably do it at Geico as well. There's never been a better time to switch and save at Geico. Just go to geico.com. All right. Keep going, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, Lou Williams, he is a Clippers guard, and he's been hit with a 10-day quarantine after social media posts showed him at a strip club called Magic City when he was supposed to only leave the NBA bubble in Orlando to go to his grandfather's funeral. But that was the headline a day or two ago. The new headline is everybody throwing their support behind him because of a picture, which I'll show you in a second. So Williams' excuse was,
do we know that the wake wasn't at a strip club?
We don't.
Okay.
But he's not.
Hey, buddy. Hey, we got an 8-foot tall hoopster in here. What? What am I? Safe at home? Oh, don't say anything in the mic. Okay. What'd you do? Just leave the bubble? Hey, did you see that John Travolta movie about that boy in the bubble? Hey, I might be dating myself. Look, I've been doing too much coke. I'm talking too fast. I can't get my mouth to stop. Hey, NBA's in Orlando. Speaking of Orlando, what happened to that Orlando Bloom? You ever see a picture of that guy on a wakeboard? Man, that guy's got a huge chode. Man, about a hug. Jade, stage seven. Hey, buddy, you grieve the way you want to grieve, and I'll grieve the way I want to grieve. You want to grieve Grandpa's death? You grieve Grandpa's death. Knee deep in pussy, drinking champagne, and eating hot wings by the bucket. Hey, speaking of buckets, we got a businessman lunch coming up. That's right, we're not going to let COVID-19 slow us down. Hell, we've been here since COVID-18. We got businessman lunch and bottomless bucket of deep fried shrimp poppers. So come on down and remember, say hi.
Oh, I realize now I really missed an opportunity.
So,
hey, buddy. you know, this pandemic's it's affecting all of us. Some of us have been touched personally. I had is there a difference in any days between a biological brother and a man you loved like a biological brother? But Kurt is in. I don't know, is there a thing between prison and juvie? The point is he was in a confined space with other gentlemen, and he was due to be paroled, although he called it furloughed. Anyway, he'd got himself hooked up with he had some pre-existing conditions. He was Jade Stage 7. He was morbidly obese. He had a bath salt problem. That's probably what got him in there in the first place. He didn't have what you call a healthy lifestyle, is what it was, and he was kind of compromised. Anyway, I just remember that boy. That guy, he had so much promise. That guy could do the alphabet backwards when he was 15. And how do I know? I was there. And I checked later on we didn't have smartphones. You know what? I'm digressing. Kurt's going to be missed. This COVID-19 thing's a big deal. Make sure and tip the Nicaraguan guy in the bathroom, though. Champagne room's still open. It's still flowing. Still going. Buffet. The businessman's buffet is up there. Hey, Jade, quit your grinning. Drop your linen. That's the way Kurt would have wanted it. Thanks. I'm going to go out and blow butt. I'll be the one standing by the tan Jeep in the parking lot. I'm just going to blow butt out there. So something about the sunlight when you step out of a place with either no windows or foil over the windows you have. But I'm going to go have a cigarette out there, and I'm going to be drinking a Loco 5150 out there, and I'm going to dump a little out for Kurt. He's going to be missed. Now, he's not going to be missed by the community, of course, because it's part of the reason he got himself incarcerated. But he will be missed by this non-biological brother. Peace out. Thank you.
Touching.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
So we'll just put a button on this story. He said he only went to the strip club for the chicken wings. And even though that seems far-fetched, people have been posting a picture of these chicken wings, and now everybody believes it. Here's a picture of it. That's at the at Magic City Strip Club. That's what you get. Incredible looking spread of various, and there's even like a Lou Williams lemon pepper chicken wing, and it looks like a barbecue and a fried and French fries. And now everyone is coming to his support and his aid on Twitter saying, I get it. I get why you'd chance getting out of the bubble to go get that spread of chicken wings.
Maybe this is some diabolical thing to get the customers not to touch the dancers, you know, because when they get the lap dance, the hands always like slide around and cup the butt cheeks. But when you're covered with hot sauce, hot
sticky
wing sauce,
barbecue,
and I think you pretty much keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can they? He's got to quarantine him for 10 days
now. He's going to miss. Shit, where'd it go? I think he's missing at least two games.
Give him a week. Let him. If nothing's cooking after a week, let him back on the court. That's what I say.
Well, you don't know what the ladies have.
We don't know what the ladies have. That's right. Yeah, it's like coronavirus free, but you got crabs. That's the bad news. Like, if I'm the doctor, that'd definitely be my joke if I came through the door, right?
Well, the good news is
that's right.
It's like what's his name? Job from Arrested Development. Will Arnett. Don't worry, these ladies have been nowhere near the food.
Right.
So Google just announced that they're allowing their employees to work remotely till next summer. They want to give their employees ability to plan ahead. Meanwhile, Facebook is allowing employees to work from home until the beginning of next year. And Twitter says, you can just stay at home forever. We don't care. You can work from home permanently. Do you think that's their way of shutting down some real estate because it's not necessary?
Well, you know, I always kind of liken it to what we used to talk about, going to the radio and going to these big buildings and parking structures and lobbies and security and everything. And it turns out everyone can just kind of do what they want from their home. The only people that can't do it, kind of ironically, are the people who build the homes. All the workers still have to get out and hit the road and do their work. But the folks with their phone and their computer and, you know, as you guys have proven, and when I'm done today, I'm going to do some Zoom, you know, interview thing. We go up on stage and, you know, Ben Shapiro and Greg Gutfeld will pop in, Jael Coven, you know, everyone just sort of pops in now. I don't know. I mean, if you kind of look at it, if you think about percentage of Americans that had to go to work, you know, turn of the century or 120 years ago. Ironically, there's a lot of doctors that worked from an office in their house and dentists and stuff like that.
Did
house calls and also had an office. It is speculated that my house, Maxipad, if you can find the picture, but the house I grew up in famously had two doors right next to each other, two big fucking front doors, right? Two huge front doors just 8 inches apart at a 90 degree angle. And it was always speculated that, oh, that was the guy's office. Like he'd bring the people in. You go through that door, you're in his doctor's office.
Okay.
You go in the other door, you're in the house. So, but you go back 120 years. Most all Americans had to get up and go to work. You had to go to a factory. It's a picture of the house I grew up in with two big doors that are 6 inches apart, which is just one more weird wrinkle from my childhood. But
least there's a satisfying theory, because otherwise it makes my head hurt looking at it.
Yes. So the house is torn down now. But everyone had to get up and go to work. Some people had to go to a mine. Some people had to go to a camp, you know, logging. Some people had to go to a mill. Textile factory, you know, just get up and go to a factory, you know, all day. Then as we started advancing, less people had to get up and go to a factory, but they got up and went somewhere. But the somewhere, see, if you work, I have a bunch of guys, they work at the shop. The shop, they're prepping a car for a race. The shop's got a bunch of shit in it. A bunch of tools and cutters and ways to fabricate and welders and shit. It ain't in their living room. They don't have that in their living room. Gina, you go to a place. Brian, you did go to a place. I go to a place where everything that's in this place could be in my living room or my den. You know, in the past, when you're working at a lumber mill or you're working at a Ford factory, well, then good luck with the lumber mill in your living room. But if you think about it, if you're an attorney or you're a broadcaster or you're a secretary or you're an accountant, you know, my accountant goes into work, sits at their desk, opens the same computer they have at home and looks at all the shit they theoretically could look at home. So the more technology moves forward, the more where you're going to has the same stuff that you just left.
Yeah.
And you couldn't say that about a mill or a mine or anything, right?
And it's funny because you kind of know intellectually that everyone's working from home, but I never think it. Like if I call customer service or if I'm calling, you know, a law officer, an accountant or whatever, you just picture everyone at work. So when you hear their dog bark in the background or you hear like a coffee grinding, it's like, oh, like it's off-putting.
I think the new conceit is the hourly thing, the time clock, the how many hours did you put in. In a way, it's kind of out the window because we opened up weekends to work and evenings to work. And we got rid of the calendar. Everything used to be closed on Sundays. I could remember Sundays like, oh, man, everything's closed. You got to wait till Monday if you want to buy that toy or whatever it is. Once we got rid of the calendar, then we also got rid of the clock. So now everyone just has tasks, but they don't really have clocks. Yeah. I'm sure Christy's kind of that way. Like she's at home working. She has tasks to do.
Yeah, well, my window into the corporate world is, of course, Christy. She's in the other room right now, probably on a call or a video conference, which she is all day. And I can say, like, they get business done pretty efficiently with people just working from home because you're right. You're not just putting in your hours. You don't have to have someone breathing over your neck. You're get the shit done. You know what I mean? There's an assignment, a task that's due this week, or the client wants this by the end of the day. Just get your shit done.
That's where we're at. And also, just because you're at work doesn't mean you're working. You know, I mean, look no further than 5 feet behind me where Gabe was like playing video games when I was hitting the road. Like, you don't have to work just because you're at work. You got your smartphone. A lot of people checking their roto leagues and YouPorn and God knows what else. All right, let me hit stamps.com here as we adjust to our new normal. Still need to be smart about our business. Luckily, stamps.com makes it easier. Well, this is exactly what we're talking about. Why are you going to the post office? What do you need a post office anymore? We got stamps.com. I've used them here for over 10 years. We sent out merch that are improperly labeled, the backs of the shirts, not the stamps.com. We send out books. We send out DVDs. It's all stamps.com. Whether you're a small business sending invoices or online seller, keep shipping those products. Just work from home and work smart. Mail stuff. It's easy with stamps.com. Lets you buy and print U.S. postage for any letter, any package. 5 cents off every first class stamp and up to 62% discount on USPS and UPS shipping rates as well. We got a special offer, 4 week trial plus free postage and that digital scale, which I think goes up to 80 pounds. And there's no long-term commitment. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. All right, Gina, what else?
So after years of development, the 2021 Ford Bronco finally debuted earlier this month, which caused a frenzy of pre-ordering the vehicle. So many people pre-ordered the Bronco that there's already an 18-month wait list. The start of production is right on schedule, but it will still take months and months for enough Broncos to roll off the assembly line to meet demand. We have a picture of it. I'm sure you've seen it. There's plenty of pictures. But
that's like the Bronco 2, right? the little like squatty one?
Sure.
Yeah, well, there was the first generation Bronco that
like the OJ Bronco that we all know.
That was the second Bronco. So the first Bronco was like, I don't know, 63, 64 to like 70 something. They had a first gen Bronco. Those are highly coveted now. People pay $70,000 for like just a stock Bronco from the late 60s. Then they went to the Bronco 2, which was the one that had the weird curved glass in the back that rolled over all the time. That was a piece of shit. Then they went to the OJ Bronco.
I think.
And then that was a bigger Bronco. And then they kind of phased it out. And now everyone's wanting to get back. Ford has their new F-150 truck is gas and electric. And you can run 240 off it. It has like a built-in generator. So it's like if you're working, you could run an air compressor. You could plug in all your tools and charge all your battery tools on the job site. You don't need
smart.
Electricity is a big deal when you're building. Like if you're building a cabin and you don't have power, or just building a home and you don't have the temporary power brought in, that's a big deal. So they're really making strides over there. And it's nice to see 100-year-old companies like evolving, moving, changing, like still going, still producing. I like that part of this. I like that story. So it's nice. Yeah, it's back, and people are going nuts for it. And as I said, there's a big move toward all these off-road type vehicles because each time you put, every five people that buy a Prius, one person buys a Jeep and puts a lift kit on it. Like that's where we're going as a society. For every one person that says there was a microaggression, that they were the victim of a microaggression, another person is signing up for a Tough Mudder or taking their first jiu-jitsu class. You know what I mean? Like that's where we're just going as a nation. So it's pretty much safe rooms and octagons, and then just Priuses and four bys. Those are what you're going to see. That's where we're going. I've seen more Jeeps and more knobby tires and more lift kits, especially on fucking Rush Street in Chicago. But yeah, this thing's a massive seller, and I think it has a lot to do with the climate. I really like this social, political. It's a climate. No more four-door sedans anymore. Everyone's got to kind of plant your flag. You know, you have to make a statement. Like, I'm driving something that I could survive the apocalypse in, or I'm hugging a tree. Like, I'm no more just sort of four-door sedans. Yes.
That's funny you mentioned survive the apocalypse. My first thought was related to what you were saying. Like, I wonder how many people buying that or ordering it are like, shit's getting crazy, riots and whatever. Like, if I want to just take off somewhere, it's nice to know they have the freedom to do that.
Yeah, you can go full Red Dawn, man. All right, what else we got, Gina Grand?
I will tell you, but before I forget, you know how we talk sometimes about cities that do not match their name? Mm. There was one that's been on my mind that I just remembered. I want to see what you guys think. Fancy, fancy name, not such a fancy place, Diamond Bar.
Diamond Bar.
I mean, it has the word diamond in it.
I know. Probably not that far from Corona, California.
It's mentioned in the book.
Is Diamond Bar?
It's a great name for a casino. Not a great name for a town.
Okay.
Dawson's got a memory like a fucking bear trap, man.
That's impressive.
I fucking said it in the book, and it's, I don't even remember saying it.
That's impressive. And apparently what it really, it's an ode to a brand.
You know what would have been better, though? It would have been better if I just kind of poo-pooed it. Like, hey, it's all right, cutie. That's a little girl. That's what we call a...
Cute.
You know what? Let's round up. Let's make that one a five. But sort of leave the heavy lifting in the comedy department to the Ace Man. And then Dawson kicks in with, he put it in the book.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah.
So a federal prosecutors accused a Florida man Monday of fraudulently obtaining nearly $4 million from the Paycheck Protection Program and using some of the money to buy a Lamborghini.
Next to Pomona, not Corona, so says Zapata. But it can't be too far from Corona, can it?
It's like 20
minutes. Pomona Mining Company, good restaurant.
Yeah, all right, sorry. They used the money to buy a Lambo?
Yeah, 29 years old, charged with bank fraud, according to NBC. Federal agents seized the car, which valued at $318,000 and $3.5 million from his bank account when he was arrested. So he wanted $13.5 million in paycheck protection loans through the applications on behalf of different companies that included false statements about employee payroll expenses. And according to the documents, these purported employees either didn't exist or earned a fraction of what he claimed on his applications. But he got $4 million. So whatever he did worked for at least a short time.
I can't. And they went out and bought a Aventador or Huracan or something like that. The point is this: you got to resist buying the $300,000 plus Lambo. You got to wait 15 minutes after the check clears. Like it's like you know these guys that like they kill their wife, she drowns mysteriously, and then it's like they collect the insurance, and then 10 minutes later, they're seen in Acapulco with their new girlfriend. It's like, you got to just lay low for 6 months. Yeah. Just lay low.
Yeah, it's like Goodfellas. He rips the mink off of her.
Right.
And the other guy bought a Cadillac.
Take it back. It's in my mother-in-law's name. Take it back. Right. He bought a Huracan. Yeah. Just wait. Wait. Just let the paint dry a little. And it'll be in the bank. If I did this, I would just live completely, not that I live a normal life, but if in fact I was a normal person and lived a normal life, I wouldn't change a fucking thing for 5 years.
Like you go full Warren Buffett.
So you still drive your Porsches?
Yeah. Well, I don't drive on the street, Brian, but get your drip.
That was absurd.
Yes. Hey, baby, I'm driving a Datsun 510 in the next race, so I'm slumming it, man. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, very, very tragic news. A truck crash in southern Missouri luckily resulted in no injuries, but whiskey drinkers are heartbroken. A semi-truck carrying 12,000 bottles of Templeton Rye overturned, dumped its entire load onto the highway. The bottles of booze were picked up in Templeton, Iowa, and was en route to a warehouse in Arkansas. The truck was deemed a total loss, and so was the whiskey, which was valued at $325,000.
Wow, same price almost as the Lambo Huracan. Yeah, Templeton is good. I love a rye because it's got a little spice to it. And I think those guys came in here once and we talked to them. I think it was the whole Al Capone story and Prohibition. And
yeah, we used to make the Better Man with it.
Yeah, there's always there's always a good story. Everyone wants a good story now. They want a good story with their booze. They want a good story in life. It's weird. Everyone's sharing what they did. Here's where we were. Here's where we ate. Here's where we went. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, we've turned into these crazy gypsies. There's like weaving tales. Like
back on tours.
It's weird because families, you know, everything was sort of close to the vest. Like when I was younger, like you don't talk about this, you know, you don't talk about your finances or if there's an illness or, you know, it's like we keep it private. Not my family, but I just mean regular families would be like, hey, we don't put our dirty laundry out there. Now, full circle, man, or 180, just pushing it out. Like everyone's just shoving it out there.
I was just talking about this the other day. If I could have told an 11-year-old Gina that one day it was going to be cool to talk about your anxiety disorder and not be so shaming that you didn't leave your house for 3 months and missed 3 months of school, I would have been on easy street. But it was not like that in middle school in my day.
Hold on. You're weird?
That's funny.
Oh, jeez, I thought you were kidding about that shit. That's freaking me out, dude.
I had such a horrific panic disorder when my parents got divorced.
Wow.
And,
too much information. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, this is one of those you stories.
No, let me tell you about Ritalin.
Chris, we've probably come to the end of the show, right?
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah. Sir,
you got my period really late. Do you want to hear about it?
Gina's internet connection's all over the place, man.
Hello?
It's the episode.
All right, let me hit. I agree. Part of it is a good thing. People don't have to, you know, it's like I was a bedwetter when I was a kid, and that would have that was devastatingly embarrassing. God. You know, like that was so humiliating. I don't know if you're a bedwetter as a kid now. It's like you may get a few, pardon the pun, brownie points or something. I don't.
Everyone's like Adam Sandler. It's cool to be a band.
Let's say Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
Yeah. All right, let me hit Meguiar's here. Car waxes have come a long way. Last year, Meguiar's introduced a hybrid ceramic spray wax. Its advanced SiO2 hybrid technology delivers ceramic wax protection and durability. No rubbing, curing, or buffing. Provides extreme water bead action. That's how you know it's working. And this year, Meguiar's launched their liquid version, so it seals the paint for long-lasting protection against the elements. Easy to use. Apply it like traditional liquid wax. Protect yourself. Get that Meguiar's. I love the ceramic spray detailer. It smells good and it works. You don't have to wash your car in the driveway and waste all those gallons of water anymore. Just pull it under something shady. Pull it in your garage, take microfiber rag out, just literally use the hybrid ceramic spray detailer and clean your car that way. Good for bird droppings, boost the gloss, enhance protection, dust, fingerprints, everything else. Ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's. All right, Gina Grad, let's bring it on home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com and find out where we're going to be doing live shows everywhere and get the audiobook and all that good stuff. Where you, if you go to Amazon, leave a review. I will read. I do read your reviews, and I appreciate them. So go ahead and do that with the book. Cousin Sal and Sheck coming up next on Good Sports. Until next time, Adam Carolla, for poor Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Stick around. Good Sports is up next.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. And once again, joined by my pal, my old pal, but my new podcast partner on Extra Points, just part of Cousin Sal's brand new sports, gambling, pop culture, otherwise network of podcasts. What's happening with you, Cousin Sal?
What's up? I'm just glad we're talking sports. Baseball is back, right? Kind of. Some teams are doing their own thing. They're shuffled off to the side, but we got it, Dave. It's back, and I'm happy to be talking sports with you.
Speaking of baseball, as someone who's been the recipient of some ire regarding this subject, could we cut elderly doctors and or celebrities or, you know, young teen sensations a little slack in the throwing out of the first pitch? You know what I mean? Like Fauci's an 80-year-old man. He's an infectious disease physician. Is you really how good should that first throw actually be? And does it have to lead the news cycle for 3 days that the 80-year-old man who's 5 foot nothing was wearing wingtips threw a bad ball?
I'm with you. And, you know, also have to keep in mind he has gallons and gallons of hand sanitizers slathered all over him.
Oh, so, that's true. Know, yeah.
It's very difficult.
That's a fair point. But to play devil's damage, I feel like it is forever going to be jarring to me, no matter how many times I see it. Grown up people, like, what did they do with their childhoods that they look like this is like the second or fourth time of their lives that they ever threw a ball? I mean, I really think that it's a phenomenon that has now extended beyond just Baba Booey and one or two other. I mean, like, how many? There are dozens of these videos now of people incapable of doing it. What was happening at PE class around the country?
Well, Fauci went out there and he brought a mitt with him, which was smart because my hypothesis is that all your throwing you've done in all your pony league and peewee and all that in high school softball games, it always has you always have a mitt on the other side as a sort of counterbalance. And if you picture just picking up a ball and throwing it minus the mitt, it feels weird, but also, to give Fauci and Bubba Booey their due, half the guys in MLB, if you hit a sharp grounder to the first baseman and the runner at second is going to third and that guy makes his throw to third, he bounces it to third. Mm-hmm. I mean, half the guys that are playing professional baseball in the infield, like the first baseman, can't get that ball to third base without bouncing it or the guy having to make a good scoop on the other side of it or something. Like, and half the pitchers can't make that throw. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Maybe humanity's flawed.
I don't think he cared. I mean, you have to know at that point in that age how that pitch is going to turn out. He didn't think – it's not like rolling a bowling ball, right, where you're like, all right, I'm going to get between 3 and 10 on this, right? Like,
right.
He had to know he was going to be 30 feet wide and 20 feet short.
Well, the man's Ace, 80. I say we cut him some slack.
Also true. Also fair. He does deserve a little slack. Ace, as I mentioned at the top there, you're fond of talking Game of Life. Sal and I plan on doing plenty of that. And unfortunately, Sal has imposed, I don't even know what the spirit of this was, has imposed a human speed bump on things. I brought up the subject of donuts on our first episode the other day, a little Game of Life, one of the tentpole items in our society. And this producer who Sal has put on us is this guy, Jim Cunningham. And I said, well, the seminal question is, what do you like? Do you like you like raised donuts or do you like cake donuts? Here was his response.
I've never had either of those.
I do.
What the hell?
What? Is there like, does he have a religion? Like, is he a Sikh or is he participate in Santeria? Like, is there some cultural religious something that says we can't eat hoops with holes in it or something?
I don't know. I stopped believing in God when I noticed I had two lunatics on either side of this argument that I had to referee on a sports show, no less. So, but yeah, no, it turned out great.
Hey, who? How? Well, Gary has
a thought. Sorry, earlier in the clip, he does say his favorite kind of donut is a glazed donut. So he consumes donuts.
So he doesn't know the difference between a cake and a raised one, or what's his?
He doesn't know what either of those terms mean.
Oh.
This is the slab underneath the house argument.
Yeah, with Danny Two Sheets.
Yeah. Right.
No, you do run into that. Like, I did say to the Porcelain Punisher, my assistant Matt, once, 5 years ago, I said, go online and buy me some bathroom cleanser, some sink cleanser. Let's get some cleanser. And he said, what are we cleansing? And I said, no, cleanser, just get cleanser. And he said, what are we cleansing? And I said, no, cleanser. And he's like, I don't know. What are we cleaning? I said, no, cleanser is a thing. It's its own. It's a thing. I grew up with cleanser, having to clean the toilet, you know, when I was a kid. And there's certain things that just people don't, younger people. I'm guessing this guy was younger.
He's a little bit younger. Yeah. He's still early 30s. I think.
I asked this guy.
Just don't know the name of.
I know. I asked Jim where the Rose Bowl was played. I mean, he couldn't figure that one out at all.
How dare you? These are deep. These are deep cuts. These are all deep cuts.
It's great. I know.
All right. Well, what is the best donut?
In a big upset, Ace, I don't know how you missed it. No, actually, we kibitzed about this. Big upset. You know, I'm big on the buttermilk. It's, you know, I swear by it almost perennially. But in a major upset, Cinnamon Sugar took the crown in 2020. First annual Shecky Award, National Donut Day. Cinnamon Donut won.
I also, I like old-fashioned buttermilk. All that cake is good. Cinnamon's good. I noticed one of our yardsticks of our ever-widening society, like how fat everyone is getting. Mm-hmm. When I was in the gas station the other day and I looked at one of those packets of mini donuts. Remember when you were a kid, there'd be five powder, five chocolate or five whatever. And it was a big, big treat. They're like 13 in that packet now. Like that packet is 4.5 inches longer than it was when we were kids. Like the average human cannot get by on five of those little ring ding donuts anymore. He needs 27 of those things. Like I was just and it didn't say like jumbo fun pack or anything. That's just standard fat human pack.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, let's bring it on home here. Sal and Ace, win, play, show that triple pack of cake donuts. You get the powdered sugar, you get the toasted coconut, and you get the chocolate around it. Win, play, show.
You know, I don't know why anyone never did the varietal pack like the Neapolitan style. I could have gone a 2-2-2 and left that Quickie Mart a happy man. Like because by the time you get to your seventh powder donut, you can barely breathe anymore. That's my soft palate would be caked. I'd have like an inch and a quarter of chewed up salivated dough with the powder, right? Like I couldn't breathe through my mouth anymore. But the chocolate donut, again, by the time you get to your fifth or sixth one, you've done it. Yeah. And I like the novelty of the coconut too, but I wouldn't go all in coconut. So I would invent a chub pack where we did 2-2-2. But Dave, I'm going to ask a very difficult question.
Okay.
Do I get to drink milk during this?
Ooh.
Whew. I mean, I wasn't even thinking along those lines.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Curveball here. I'm going to allow it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Have a milk. You can have some milk.
If I can drink the milk,
you're going powder.
I might go powder because if I can't clear the powder, then there's an issue.
Well, let me just say this. For my three, I'm a coconut guy, so I put that first. And I know that's a minority opinion. You guys, Dave gives me hell. I like Samoas or what are they called? But sometimes
Samoas.
You're right. Sal's
they're
right.
They're the most cloying of all our girls.
I love that.
They're the best.
You say that's a candy bar. That's not fair. I disagree. But I will say, and this, you don't like qualifiers, Dave, if you have to take a single bite of a donut, because we're not supposed to be eating full donuts at this age, the New York Bakery powdered jelly donut. I know it gets messy if you try to, what, don't make a face. What is that? One bite of that jelly. And you're good. No, it's good. It's the best. It's messy, obviously, but if you can get in and out in one bite, you're good.
I like fruit and I like a lot of other food, but I don't like my fruit mixed in with the rest of my food. It ain't right. You know, give me the fruit. You don't like a jelly donut? No,
I don't like a jelly.
I don't like a jelly. Nothing. I give me my peanut butter and peanut butter on the bread.
Oh my God. Really?
You know what? If you want to fight about it, we can do a full hour about it. But for now, let's wrap it up. Sal, and make sure maybe we'll extend this into
we can do
an offshoot, you know, like a spinoff. Already we're successful enough with this extra point.
I don't know if we own the IP to this. I don't know. We'll have to ask Ace. Maybe we can license it.
True. Adam Carolla, I expect, will be a guest at some point soon.
Yeah.
Coming up on Extra Points, but make sure you're checking out Cousin Sal's new venture here, his podcast network, gambling, sports, mirth, pop culture, and so on.
Girth.
Yeah, you know what we should do on our next show? We should talk about the heavyweight Cormier UFC coming up. Because, boy, I haven't checked those odds, but that's got to be a kind of a pick'em type fight, I got to believe. All right. We'll do that. Sorry, Sheck. Back to you.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Cousin Sal. And for Carolla, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. Good sports out. Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Welcome to Fandemic 2020, presented by Bet Online. I'm your host, Bram Weinstein. We have an amazing panel of guests today. You see Harold Reynolds, who played infield in Major League Baseball for a number of years. You can see him every day on the MLB Network these days in his prestigious broadcasting career. Eddie George won the Heisman Trophy back in the 1990s, one of the best running backs in Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans history. And Robert Horry is one of the most clutch basketball players in NBA playoff history, a number of different championships with three different teams over 16 years. Hi to all of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me also.
All right, let's switch over to fans and let's talk about what that looks like, what that feels like. Eddie, you played at Ohio State, so you played at one of the most iconic, legendary venues that there is in American sport. You played in the NFL as well. So let's start with you here. The idea of playing football games without fans, that feels like what to you?
So I know what it feels like, and it's not fun. It's you need the energy to feed off of. your whether you're home or your home video, you need the fans to support you when you're down. You're trying to figure out how to force through adversity as a team, and you need the fan support. And also when you're on the road, you know, the opposing teams feed off of that same type of energy. So the fans are very much a part of sports like anything else. They are definitely they play a role in it. And that's the whole point, is the give and take. That's why they have home field advantage or home court advantage or home field advantage. It's definitely a feel to it. So what you're going to see is it's going to feel like a spring practice, if you will. It's going to feel like a glorified scrimmage. It's not going to have very much meaning without the fans. It's going to be a different feel.
Robert, for you, I mean, for your league, they're going right into the playoffs and there's no fans. What was your experience like having fans in the stands for playoff games? And what does it mean to you to not have them in what is the biggest moments of the season for the NBA?
Well, for me, I fed on fans' energy. And I also love going into different, like the visiting team's arena and shutting them up, because it was nothing more satisfying than shutting them up and you know, having that thrill. But I think sometimes people don't understand how much as athletes we need fans. We love fans and we appreciate them greatly. I know a lot of times we can act like we don't by not signing an autograph, but we really appreciate fans because they give us that energy in the fourth quarter and they excite us to get over that mountaintop. I think about when we played Portland in game 7 of Western Conference Finals in game 7 in the fourth quarter. You know, we down 20 points, but we got those fans behind us to come through and make them nervous. You know, that helped us. That's why you play for home court advantages, for these moments like this, when you need those fans behind you to get you over the top. So it's hard to play without fans, but I will say this, without fans, you're going to see who is the best. You can see who has the heart and the mindset to get over the top, because they don't have the fans to push them or give them that extra mile. So now the true talented people I'll go come through at the end.
I got to tell you, though, I mean, Harold, I mean, as a fan, that is one of the unintended good consequences here of all of this, that we get to hear the things that we've always wanted to hear that we weren't sure was ever really going on.
Hey, Eddie, I'm curious, with in football, so much of the vocabulary is shared from team to team,
yeah,
like your audible in plays and stuff like that. How will that play?
That's a great point, because, you know, the Patriots, they got in trouble for getting their audibles. They're getting their signals. They're knowing when they're checking. They're getting – so that's going to be interesting because to have the crowd noise to mute that out helps. And you can't pick up on things. But when you can pick up, like, check with me, you know, going right, you know, Wrangler and lefty, whatever it is. I mean, you can pick up on those things. So I think the NFL, in terms of game planning, week to week, they're going to have to change up their vocabulary to communicate what they want from play to play. And it's going to be interesting to see how that happens.
From a health perspective, we've established you guys, to some level, would miss the fans and their presence. But what concern do you have about people being in the stands in general?
Well, I think if you want to get through the season, it's going to have to be without fans, because you can't risk a fan coming down shaking somebody's hand. Your natural reaction, somebody says hi to you, you want to reach out your hand, right? Fist pump, whatever. What happens if a player contacts COVID through a fan? You're going to contact all the fans and you're going to shut a team down? I just think it's difficult enough to keep the team clean and healthy and not to involve fans. And I know that's not what everybody wants to hear, but I think that's where we're at right now. And like I said, this is ever evolving. Who knows? By the time we get to September, it might totally be different. But I think for now, as we're starting up and trying to just get players on the field, I find it difficult to think they're not going to interact with fans. It's just a natural thing to do. So I think that complicates the problem. That's just my thought.
Eddie, what about you? You said you fed off the fans. You liked having them there. with the public health and your personal health, if you were playing at risk, how do you feel about the idea of fans being in the stands?
I think it can be done. I think if you can find the right capacity and you can begin to kind of tarp off different sections of the stadium, because not every, even in normal time, not every stadium is going to be full anyway. So it's only certain markets, certain places. And I think teams that are at full capacity on the average need to have those plans out. I think if fans come in with masks on, they provide hand sanitizers, they're laid out a certain protocol that there are no player-fan interactions, there are no autographs, lay all the rules out on the table, I think it can be done appropriately. I think if you can somehow manage the concessions, you know, 6 feet distance, making sure people go in one way all the time, that they're not all over the place. If you can provide that in terms of a stadium environment and that experience, it can be done. I don't think the players can necessarily attract COVID. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. Through fan interaction, just by them being there, it's more on the field that from other players they can get it. But in terms of having fans in the stands, it can be done if it's done appropriately, responsibly, and it has to be well thought out. And they have to be able to check the temperatures of people, do a testing and a screening prior to that. I think it can be done.
Harold, would you play? Would you have played?
Would I have played? Yeah, I probably would have. You know, I was single throughout most of my career. I mean, through all my career, I was single. I didn't get married until after baseball. So, yeah, I probably would have played. I can understand guys that have the challenges, though. Because of the fact that, well, you look at Mike Trout, you know, his wife is expecting their first child in August. And I remember being in spring training before the shutdown, talking to Mike, and he was so ecstatic about being home and asking me, what was it like in the delivery room when your kids were born? And he was all enthusiastic about all that. That's something you think about forever, yeah. Particularly with the first one. And so now, knowing that the date was going to be in August, he was like, I'll probably miss a couple games, but I'll be back. Then the pandemic hits and he's thrown into this whole decision of what is he going to do? And I'll throw this at you guys real quick. The challenge for these players is not taking care of yourself. It's all your teammates. Everybody's in it. So I don't know what they're doing when they leave and who they're around and everything else. I think that's what presents even more of a challenge with contact testing, where if someone all of a sudden outside of your sphere has had contact with somebody, now you all of a sudden you got to get quarantined. And so those are the challenges. And I know that's what Mike Trout is really struggling with. So that said, and that long answer, being single, with no kids all through my career, yeah, I'd probably play. But had I had family, like Robert was talking about, it presents a different challenge.
Robert, would you have played? If you were still playing right now, would you play?
I probably wouldn't have because, you know, it also depends on where I am at my career. You know, if I'm like 5 years in, 10 years in, or like it was like 16 years at the end of my career, I wouldn't do it just because I know I'm older. I know my wife had heart issues and I got a young kid at home. So I probably wouldn't play. And plus, I've made enough money that I didn't have to play. So it that makes a big difference on where you are. My career was established. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, and plus I had 7 championships, so you know, I'm not trying to win another one, you know, but and it's hard to say, man, because you love the game of basketball, you love your sport, and you want to get out there and show your craft and do your craft at the best of its ability. And it would be one of those things, and you have to really sit down with your family and discuss it and see what they want you to do. And it would be hard, but for me, and I know me and my wife, I would have said, no, I'm not playing because, you know, I played enough, and my life and my family life is more important than getting some, you know, playing a basketball game.
All right, let's end on a big picture question. Optimistically, all of the leagues you're going to play, all of them are going to crown a champion. Harold, I want you to go last because baseball is such a unique position with how they're structuring their schedule and all of that stuff this year. But let's start with the NBA since they would be the first to literally crown a champion if they can play. Is there an asterisk, Robert, for whoever wins this thing this year?
I played in 1999 season where, you know, we want to put an asterisk by the San Antonio Spurs season because it was a lockout. I think anytime you win a championship is a great accomplishment. So there shouldn't be an asterisk. It's not like like half the guys didn't try to compete and play, but everybody's out to compete and everybody has the same advantage that you have. I'm not one of these guys that believe in the asterisk. I think if you get out there and compete and you do what you're supposed to do to try to win the championship, you win that championship. You play hard as an individual. You did your thing. I know a lot of people, I guarantee you, if your team doesn't win it, you're going to say it. And if your team does win it, he goes like, oh, it's not an asterisk season. We compete like everybody else. So I think when you say asterisk, that's just bad because everybody had the same opportunity to go out and compete and win the championship. And you should have put yourself in a position to have the best advantage possible to win a championship.
All right, big thank you to our panel today. Harold Reynolds, who you can, of course, see on the MLB Network, played a number of years in the majors. Eddie George, a Heisman Trophy winner, of course, one of the greatest running backs in Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans history. And Robert Horry, one of the most clutch shooters in the history of the NBA, a winner of 7 championships and has the rest of them so jealous because he's got 7 rings. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And to the fans out there, thank you for joining us for Fandemic 2020, brought to you by Bet Online. We'll be right back.